Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the powerful worship we've just been through, the powerful message of your healing grace, for your love and your compassion. And Father, I want to say hallelujah so many times before Lent starts. I want to get my hallelujah in, Lord, as many, many times as I can, because I just praise you, I worship you, and I thank you. Thank you for yesterday. I thank you for this church plant, this little piece of Jerusalem. This little place so filled with love. The sweet, sweet spirit in this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a Christian couple wanted to buy a Christian dog, a Christian trained dog. So they found on the yellow paper, well, they found on the web a trainer specializing in Christian trained dogs. And when they went there, they said, I've got the perfect dog for you. It's a little Jack Russell. And so he calls the Jack Russell in and he says to the Jack Russell, fetch the Bible. Little Jack Russell rushes off, picks up a Bible, comes back, reeling his tail, points it at his foot of his feet. Brilliant, you know, brilliant. Then he said, Psalm 23. And the little dog looks down and he does this, you know, and opens the Bible to Psalm 23. That's pretty good. So he bought the dog. He brought the dog home. Then he thought he'd have all his friends around after church on a Sunday. And wanted to show off the tricks that this little Jack Russell could do. So he said, George, the dog was named George. George, go and fetch the Bible. Off he went, came back, reeling tail, put it on his feet, brilliant. You know. And he said, Psalm 23. And he does this, opens the Bible to Psalm 23. And I said, this is fantastic. And then one of the people at the party said, can your dog do normal doggy tricks? And the guy says, well, I have no idea. I don't know. So he tried it out. He said, heel. So the dog jumped up on the armrest of the chair. He put his little paw on the man's head and bowed his head. It's not a true story. I just thought I'd get your attention for that. Well, today I felt the word encouragement last night and this morning to encourage you to pray for one another. To encourage you to be Christians, to be encouraged to get out of your comfort zone. But as you were celebrating the Eucharist, the Lord gave me a beautiful vision. You know, Amazon has a new store where you don't have to do anything except push stuff in your trolley and then walk out because it just does it automatically. I felt the Lord has given us all a trolley, but we are restricted by our faith and how big that trolley is. Okay, that trolley would start off as a little. Do I need this? That trolley would start off as a small trolley and actually grow. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear
yeah.
me now? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that trolley would start off with a little trolley. You know, those little ones they have, the sort of accessory ones. And as you put stuff in it, it grows experientially. Is that right? Yeah. You know, it would just grow and grow. And quite frankly, if you put even more stuff in, there'll be angels and archangels behind you with more trolleys putting more stuff in. You know, because why am I saying this? Because God said, ask. I ask, and you shall receive. I ask. Or ax, as some people say. You know, in England, it's ask. You know, it's ask. You know, it's ask. Just ask the Lord. And you know what? I don't think we ask him enough, quite frankly. You know, there's a lovely story about a guy who died, went to heaven, and Peter was there with his barcode reader, because that's what they got in heaven now, is they've gone tech, high tech, and he's got this little barcode. Hello, George. Hello, Fred. Oh, yeah, welcome. And he's got this little button. He knows everybody, you know. And the last guy comes up, his name is Eric, and he said, Eric, it's another 10 minutes before the next batch comes through. Let's go for a walk. So they go for a walk in heaven. And it comes to a huge warehouse, all these trays, these levels and shelves and everything. And he comes to his spot and little handheld on his one of these things, as a matter of fact. And he says, "Oh yeah, this is yours." And on his shelf were boxes all wrapped up with bows. And he said, well, what's this? Eric said, what's this? And he said, well, these are the gifts God wanted you to have, but he never gave them to you. All right. I think, here's a question. How many of you limit God? Come on. We all do, don't we? We all limit God. I do. You know, I've got to stop that mindset and get out of that sense of limiting God, because he can jolly well do what he jolly well wants. And he will jolly well do what he jolly well wants. And how British can he get for that? I've got to tell you, the first time I came to Texas years ago, I went to a church, and the chap there said, hello, Nigel. I said, sir, two syllables, Nigel. He said, okay, Nigel. He couldn't say my name. It was very exciting. And I've never met anybody who couldn't say Nigel. But later on at the coffee break, I heard him talking about Jehesus. So in my family now is Jehesus, you know, Jehesus reigns. Thank you, Jehesus. Jehesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the great physician, listen, and the lover of souls. I've got the Holy Spirit right now, the lover of souls. If there's nothing you don't go home with today, I want to remind you that God loves you desperately. On the day of your birth, angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven sang with great joy. Praise God for this birth. Praise God for this little one. Praise God for the birth of this church and the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. I have to share, hanging out with you, young lady. My face hurts. I have pain in my face from smiling so much. Every now and again, I had to look away and do this and you know, excuse me. You know, I've got cramp in my cheeks. I can't even look at you because it hurts. It hurts me to look at you, woman. But I love it. What a great gift you have to have the joy of the Lord in your parish. I want to show you a miracle. This is rather fun. This is watch this.
Are you doing more tricks?
Yes, more tricks. Ready? It's a snake. Oh yeah, that was good. So, you know, let's not limit God. Let's think bigger, pray bigger. Now, Barnabas, good old Barney, you know, I like Barney. He encouraged Paul, didn't he? You know, and quite frankly, we all need to encourage one another. Be a Barnabas for your pastor. Be a Barnabas to one another. We all need encouraging. Somebody once said, you don't know what battle somebody's been fighting. And as I said yesterday, particularly with post-traumatic stress, we don't wear bandages over our emotional and mental wounds. And there comes a point in life where the analogy I use is, oh, we throw it under the carpet, you know. I normally have a piece of paper to do that with. But anyway, you know, something happens, you put it under the carpet, and the carpet gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff, and one day you come home, la, 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 and you fall right over the stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's our job, or a psychotherapist's job, or a psychiatrist's job, to pull the carpet back and to remove all the yuck, all the nasty stuff, to clean that out and to relay the carpet. I put it to you, what are you putting under the carpet? What stuff has happened to you that you just, it'll be fine, and one day we'll trip on that carpet and fall. And with Christ, what I would highly recommend, my mentor Jim Glennon is an amazing man. He would say he would sit on his prayer chair, you know, and he would sit in the chair and he'd put all his trouble behind him. Get behind me, Satan, get behind me. And he did that for many years. And one day he thought, I'm just going to turn around and face all that stuff. And you know what? It went. It wasn't there anymore. It's just gone. You know, it's the same analogy with the putting stuff under the carpet. How do we do that? How do we not do that? And, you know, I think the blueprint of the healing ministry, as we shared yesterday at the service, James 5, 13 through 16, is a wonderful passage, the prayer of faith. I think this is the blueprint. I think this is the godly design of the healing ministry. And I mentioned yesterday, Luke 9, 2, preach the kingdom, heal the sick. When we look at that, quite frankly, most churches are only doing 50% of what Jesus commanded his disciples to do, to preach the kingdom and heal the sick. But listen to this, the prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Years ago, I preached on this at the Shoda House, and the songs of praise that day, or the psalm actually was terrible. They messed up big time. And there was great horror that because it's very high church, there's a rude screen, the lower people have to sit one side of the screen and everything has to be, you know what I'm talking about, at the house. Oh my gosh, you know, and it was like, they really sinned. You know, they really messed up. I had great fun with that. Is anyone, you know, any of them happy? Sing songs of praise. Not like this morning. You know, it was great. I had such fun with the house. But anyway, is anyone among you sick? And this is it. This is the blueprint. This is the charge. Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil as we did today. In the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That's one of the many promises of healing in the Bible. Many, many promises. Will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up if they have sinned. So to know that we've been set free from sin, because sin is one of the huge blocks to healing. Unrepentant sin, a huge block to healing. They will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Pray for each other. It doesn't mean the priest has to do this all the time. The prayer team has to do this. We need to learn how to pray for each other. Okay. All right? That you may be healed, and the prayer to pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Are there any righteous people in here? You are. Beautiful. Well done. Any humble people in here too? No. God bless you. But how lovely that you know you're righteous. Yeah. You know, I'm still working on that. But you know, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. All right. Again, going back to limiting God, I'd mentioned to the prayer team that I've been in this ministry for 28 years. And for the first 15 of them, as a layperson, I didn't realize how much power God had given me as a layperson. I only knew authority after I got one of these things, you know, as a deacon and then finally a priest. You have power over disease. You have power over disease. You have power and authority over the devil. You have love, and share that. If you're in line at a post office, if you are in line with your shopping cart, which is filling and filling and filling with faith and love, if you are next to somebody who looks a little miserable, a little downcast, say hello. How you doing? How you doing? You know? Is that what was that? Friends, wasn't it? How you doing? You know, and to, maybe that person hasn't been spoken to for a week or 2 weeks or maybe a month. Put your hand on that person's shoulder. Let them know about Jesus. And six words. This is where I want to encourage you. Six words. As I mentioned yesterday, and I might expand upon that a little bit today. Six words can change your life and change somebody else's life. How may I pray for you? Would you say that with me? How may I pray for you? Those six words could change your life. More importantly, change somebody else's life. Very simple. I mentioned yesterday that I'm not a theologian by any means. I'm a heartologian. And this is where I live and move and have my being. Very humbly, watching the love of God being sustained, being planted, helping people to be resurrected in their faith and love. A kind word. Kindness is the best thing in the world. I love it when people are kind to me. It surprises me, actually. Why are we surprised when somebody's kind? Why are we surprised? But to be kind, to act as Christ to somebody else is a great gift. It's a wonderful gift. Be kind. Spread the gospel. Know that Christ is with you. And I want to encourage you, going back to that point of not realizing as a layperson the authority I had in me. I wish somebody had told me, like I'm telling you, what authority you have to heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quietly and gently. You come alongside the person. You don't go over the top and lord it over them and smack them on the head and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Okay. Jesus? You come alongside them, but better yet, come underneath. All right? Come alongside them, come underneath them, and lift them up gently. Right? It takes courage. The biggest fear, I think, of the healing ministry, quite frankly, as I realized in teaching in seminary, are two fears that the seminarians have shared with me. And I learned a lot from this. Well, one seminarian would say, well, Father Nigel, this is all very well. You know, I've got my diploma, I've just been ordained, I've got a church, or I'm learning at a church. Somebody comes into my office and I pray for them and they die. What's that going to make me look like? This is very me and I, sadly. What's that going to make me look like? On the flip side, that's the one side of the continuum. On the flip side of this dilemma is, Father Nigel, somebody just came into my office. They saw my new diploma. I've got my new collar, you know, and I pray for them. They're healed. Then what's going to happen? You know, isn't that sad? At seminary,
that we have these two continuums on the far degree of each other. If I pray and they die, what's that going to make me look like? If I pray and they get healed, what's that going to make me look like? My argument is, let's put it in the middle. Okay? The thing is, I am not a healer. God is the healer. And that's the key, to know who the healer is. It is His love, it's His compassion. And He wants us to do this. Is it uncomfortable? You bet it is. It's meant to be. Do I feel uncomfortable when I pray for people? Most of the time, yes, to be honest. You know. But the thing is that Luke, I forgot where it is, but the Bible says that we are to decrease, that He may increase. Get out of the way of God. For 28 years, I prayed that my hands would be the hands of the Lord. 28 years. Lord, bless my hands. Use my hands. When we're ordained, the bishop anoints our hands. And I do that with physicians, nurses, and doctors, those who are in caregivers. Anoint their hands so they can bring the love of God to people. People always ask, how did this start? Well, I need to tell you that I was raised in the Anglican Church. I'm a cradle Anglican, even though I'm an Episcopal priest. I need you to know that. I meant to say that right at the beginning when I got here, but I'm a cradle Anglican, obviously, being a Brit. We were raised in the church. My dad was church warden. He was ordained at 51, as I was, funnily enough. Not the same year, obviously, but to the same age. He was a vicar in England. He was healed. He had a very bad back, and our vicar, Dennis Maddox, had happened to be praying at one in the morning, the same time my dad was healed. Dennis had said to my dad that I was praying for you at 1 o'clock last night, and my dad and mum said, that's when I was healed. And he knew. So my dad knew the healing ministry. But then my sister Julie, I was in the Royal Marines. I was a commando. I spent a year of my life in combat. I've been shot at, as I mentioned yesterday, 3 times, blown up 5 times. I've seen hell on earth. I've seen man's inhumanity to man. I emigrated to America in 1980. I've been an American for 15 years. God bless America. God bless the Queen. But when I was in the Royal Marines, I started getting frightening phone calls from home. I'd left the Marines, I'd come to this country, and got phone calls from England about my sister Julie Sheldon, who was a ballerina with the Royal Ballet, and to see her perform was exquisite. I mean, unbelievable to watch what ballerinas do and what they go through. It was extraordinary. And I got these frightening phone calls from my sister that her left knee had seized, that things were going wrong with her. And her knee froze, and she had arthroscopic surgery on the left knee. And shortly after that, the knee started to curl like this and bend up. Her left ankle was touching her right buttock. Like that. And she's a ballerina, so she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. And the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. Go home to your kids, they said. It's all psychological. Which I found quite amazing. For 6 months, she wrestled with that issue. And then in frustration, the doctor, one of the physicians, did what's called manipulation under anesthetic. They gave her a general anesthetic. Well, guess what? The leg stayed the same. And when you're under general, everything gives up. Your bladder gives up. Your bowels give up. Everything. You have no control over anything. The leg remained rigid. So they put it in a plaster of Paris. They forced it straight, put it in a plaster of Paris. And you know how strong plaster of Paris is. Her leg spasmed about an hour after she'd come to and cracked and broke the plaster of Paris. It's hard to believe, but that's what happened. She screamed bloody murder and passed out in agony. They took the plaster off immediately and the leg went straight back. And then they realized she had a disease called dystonia. Dystonia is a neurological disease from the basal ganglia, similar to Parkinson's in the same family. But over the next 3 years, her left knee curled up, then her right knee curled up, her feet, and her whole body curled up. And 8 to 10 times a day, everything would reverse with such violence, they thought she was going to die by breaking her own neck. That was the diagnosis, death by breaking her own neck. And I was there when she went through that trauma. I saw that happen 8 to 10 times a day. Nurses, code blue, all nurses came running and were holding her, trying not to let her neck snap so powerfully that she would die. I saw that. Frightening. Julie had lost, she went down about 63 pounds. She wrote a book on the experience called Dancer Off Her Feet, or Dancer Off Her Feet. It's a very good book, Julie Sheldon. But she was, there was nothing left. And she looked at me with these great eyes. Pupils were huge, just staring at me like a dog or an animal in a trap. Being a Marine, one of the things we're taught to do is to kill people, not only with weapons, but with our bare hands. And I honestly thought,
We put our dog to sleep a month before, and I believed at that point that I should kill my sister. Horrific thing to say way before I was ordained, but I had my hand out. I was going to close her windpipe. It would have been very simple. But then I reckoned, you know, I'll be in jail. I'll do life, maybe, I don't know. It's amazing what goes through your mind, but I felt like we should do a mercy killing. Again, we just put our dog to sleep a month before, and I honestly thought, in my faith, that that's what I should do. I thank God I didn't. Listen, well, before I tell you what happened the next day, I went for a walk after leaving Julie, of not having the courage, or God stopping me, I should say, more to the point, God stopped me from killing her. I went for a walk, weeping in the streets of London, left this hospital walking aimlessly, had not got a clue where I was, came across W.H. Smith's, which is an English bookstore, was led into the bookstore, led to this rack of sort of picture books, and there's one there on the military. There's a picture of a Royal Marine, and it said Royal Marine Commandos. I picked that book up. Do you know what? I flicked through it, and there was a picture of me in that book that I didn't even know had been taken, and I'm on the zip line. Okay. In England, we don't call it the zip line. We call it the death slide. Okay, I'm on the death slide. Picture of me. I'm thinking, my gosh, my sister's on a death slide. I don't know how many blocks away. And the clerk at the shop was obviously having a very bad day, a miserable person. And I gave it to him, you know, to check out. And I said, open it to page 24. He did. He said, that's you. And he got really excited and told everybody in the store. W.H. Smith is huge, you know. And people came and gathered, and I'm 1 minute miserable as heck, crying my eyes out, and the next minute, what's going on? You know, the company of angels surrounded me with great joy, you know, and lifted that burden of imminent death of my sister. Well, listen, I believe, you know, here am I wrestling with euthanasia, quite frankly, thinking I was supposed to kill my sister, and I thank God I didn't. The very next day, this man, Canon Jim Glendon from Australia, came and prayed for Julie. Canon Jim was in the Anglican Church in the Cathedral in Sydney, Australia, had an incredible gift of healing and prayed for Julie. He put his hands on her forehead, held her hand, and took on to believe for her healing. I believe, Julie, you're going to be healed. And you know what she was? The dystonia left her entire body except her left fist. So she was cured within hours, physically, emotionally. Took a bit longer, took about 3 months because, sadly, she tried to kill herself 3 times. So her body was healed, but her mind wasn't. So she was wrestling with what had happened. She was wrestling with a ballet dancer, a male, who dropped her when she broke her spine. She was wrestling with 2 skiing accidents and 1 car crash, all severe trauma to the spine. It was very interesting with her fist, because it remained in her fist. And I didn't know this. Her husband did, and she did, but nobody else did. She kept it quiet. And Tom, her husband, would go to hold her hand, and he'd get a fist. One day, she'd been praying with a woman from Argentina in her garden next to an apple tree, of all things. And she was saying, God, forgive me, set me free, help me, help me. Forgive me, God, forgive me. Boom, and her hand flew open. And she was completely cured. That was the end of the dystonia. Completely cured from that dreadful disease. Normally, I might add, most people get it in one place in the body. A lot of people get it in the neck, where the head is twisted. There's dysphonia, a form of speech disorder, where the same disorder upsets the vocal cords. But in Julie's case, she was totally cured, and it actually made the front page of the Times. Ballerina miraculously healed. You know, that got my attention. Has God ever got your attention? Yeah, it got my attention, people. It really did. A year later, I made my little picture frame shop in Connecticut. I suffered post-traumatic stress. I was a mess. I couldn't function. It took me a long time to get back on my feet. So I did something that I didn't have a boss, I was my own boss. I needed something to do that was gentle and kind, and picture framing was very easy. We framed, you know, handprints, we framed all sorts of things. The most famous thing I framed was a $500,000 Picasso, which was quite neat. And then somebody came in from New York, he'd been at Sotheby's, he threw this package that was like this big, he said, here, frame this. And he said, I need you to see the receipt. He'd been at Sotheby's that afternoon, and he paid $1 million for this George O'Keefe. Wow. He threw it at me. Wow. $1 million. I'm thinking, all right, Lord, let me measure this, Seymour, and you can take it home. I don't want this to sit in my frame shop. My insurance company will not cover that. But, you know, $1 million. And it was a piece of paper this big. George O'Keefe, you know, familiar with that. Yeah. And I listened. A year later, George O'Keefe died. And I went to his house to rehang his collection. And I said, Seymour,
having rehung this one, I said, what's it worth now? He said, $6 million.
Oh.
In 2 years, that man made $5 million on a piece of paper.
Wow.
I'm thinking, I'm doing something wrong here. You know,
yeah.
But I'm a spiritual millionaire, I can tell you that, not a financial one.
Yeah.
So anyway, somebody came in my picture frame shop who actually looked green. She didn't look well at all. And we finished the sale. And what I would do in my frame shop, I didn't realize this, but I'd do anything to make people smile, you know. People were miserable. Customers, retail is not fun. People bring their stuff and they dump it on you. And I wouldn't allow anybody to do that. My goal was to make people laugh. I'd do anything I could to make people laugh, you know. I'd do anything, you know. Real fool for Christ. I didn't even realize I was doing it until years later. But this poor person came in, clearly sick. And I tell you what, God got my attention. Because I'm standing next to her. I opened the door, as I always did for my customers to leave. And I'm standing in front of her, and my hands are doing this. Okay? And I'm looking at them like, what's going on? It was not me, I can tell you that. You don't go around plonking your hands on women's heads. You know, this is free cell phone. I could have been slapped, kicked, kneed. You name it, poked in the eye. No, I would have done that, of course. I forget I'm in the house of the Lord, sorry, Jesus. But you need to know how to defend yourselves, ladies. But anyway, I watched my hands do this, and I felt like somebody had my hand. I felt like, Judith McNutt said, an angel grabbed hold of your hands, and I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I watched my hands do this onto her head, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? And then she looked at me right in the eye and said, what did you do? The pain is gone. And I knew that I hadn't done a thing, but I knew God had.
Wow.
And that was my introduction to the healing ministry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a real wow. I went home to England, my parents' anniversary, sat down with my dad at lunch, after lunch, and he told me all about the healing ministry. He hadn't told me about it because I was a Marine, and he thought I wouldn't believe it or I would poo-poo what the Lord had done in his life. He told me some amazing stories. And then people came to my frame shop. More people came in for healing than framing. And I had two locations. I had 8 full-time employees. We had a very good, it was a very financially rewarding and fun job. I enjoyed it, except I was on my feet all day. My feet were a mess. But, you know, I enjoyed interacting with people and very wealthy people and very cheap people and people's homes. Man, I did one installation in a house in Greenwich.
Ooh.
What is it? Greenwich, New York. Greenwich, Connecticut, yes. The entrance hall, floor-to-ceiling gold leaf frames. $75,000 job in framing. Who would have thought that you could do something like that? Or, you know, the whole entrance hall. It was extraordinary. I digress. But more people came in for healing than they did for framing. My staff got pretty annoyed with me until one of them hurt his back, and then he was healed. It's lovely how the Lord has done this. And then it came to a point where I dedicated my life to the healing ministry in thanksgiving to what God had done to my sister. I was called to lead a retreat house in Connecticut called the Oratory of the Little Way. And that flourished, to say the least. And I would travel almost every weekend all around the country, Canada, England, Ireland, Sweden. A lot of international work. And I wrote 4 books. I'm writing my 5th book. Watching God at work, healing. What a privilege it is. My first book, Hand to Hand. Second one, The Forgotten Touch. I think that's all we've got left. 2 others. One on near-death experience. You notice I ran out of air and I walked with a limp. I was very sick 9 years ago with a swine flu. The Lord healed me, cured me. 3 weeks in a coma, 3 weeks in ICU. And what an experience that was. But realizing before I was sick that I was, you know, my faith was, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And then realizing God had resurrected me, that, Lord, I believe. And that's my prayer now. I've also got 3 CDs. One is called Only in Silence. That's me playing the violin. Funny, because I used to play the violin when I was a kid to get out of going to church. The house was empty and I would play for hours. I had a great lump on my chin. I just got lost in it. And now I play in the church. You know, it's funny, isn't that? So there's 12 live recordings that aren't practiced. They're totally praying in the spirit. Playing in the spirit. Yeah, you can pray in the spirit, but we played. The pianist, we just followed each other. We knew when to get louder, when to get quiet, when to solo, and when to end.
totally Jesus. And these other two, one called Relaxation and Healing Prayer, and the Essence of Soaking Prayer, had amazing feedback from these. There's a warning, caution, do not play the CD in your car. It may cause drowsiness. Right? We put that on there around the same time. You remember when McDonald's got sued for the hot coffee?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
Exactly that time. I was working with a Jewish techie in the recording studio, and he told me over and over and over again, he said, listen, you've got to put a disclaimer on the back, caution, do not play in your car, it may cause drowsiness, because, you know, this McDonald's thing that just happened. And funny enough, the night we'd finished the final recording, this man, this Jew, came to me in tears. He said, I can't believe what I just heard. I can't believe how... What you said? He said, I think I believe in Jesus. You know, and he's recording. He's got the headset on and tweaking it. He came to know the Lord just from recording that, you know. But he said over and over again, make sure you put a disclaimer. And I said, I can't remember his name now, but I said, I will put a disclaimer on it. Ironically, he was playing the master, whatever it's called, MPV or something. I forget what it's called in those days. But anyway, he was playing the master tape, and guess what? He fell asleep. Yeah. Luckily, there was a pull-off, a lay-by, with potholes. He went in, potholes, boom, woke him up, and he stopped 6 foot in front of a tree.
Oh,
what are the, what's the, you know,
yeah.
Hey, hello, you know. So really, I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things I can talk about. People always ask me, you know, what's the most powerful prayer you've seen, and not only with animals, because I've seen animals healed, babies healed. Pretty neat when a pit bull gets healed, or a black cat, demonized black cat, that was cool. A horse, a goat whose hoof was falling off, the Lord put it back on again. I mean, amazing stuff. I'm very humbled what God can do, you know, amazing. But I think the two stories I want to share with you, one is a domestic violence story where a woman had been pushed down the stairs by her husband, and she'd broken her wrist in 7 places. She came to us on a Tuesday. We did Tuesday morning healing services at that time. I remember it vividly for 2 reasons. One, she was wearing a lime green cast. We're Brits, don't really like being called limeys, you know. Don't call me a limey, it's a bit derogatory, but I kill you and then resurrect you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get up. But I remember vividly praying for this woman and getting covered in sweat. I was soaked. Absolutely drenched, and so was my prayer team, you know. So this was Tuesday morning. Sunday evening, she'd been pushed down the stairs by her husband in violence, you know. Wednesday morning, I got a phone call. I didn't get a phone call. My secretary got a phone call. She forwarded the phone to me, and I'm in the healing ministry, and she said, my hand's been healed. And I'm thinking, well, bones take 6 weeks to heal, you know. Oh, ye of little faith. I'm in the healing ministry, and I wasn't believing what she was saying, and she got really, really angry at me and slammed the phone down. Hour later, she showed up, stormed into my office, went straight past the secretary, had 2 x-rays in her hand, slammed them down on my desk, put out her right hand, which had been broken, and gave me a full-on marine handshake that hurt me. Back off, woman, you know. And I looked at her hand, no bruising, no evidence at all. And she had these 2, she told me what she'd done. She said, we prayed on Tuesday morning. She said that afternoon she went to the cash machine, got a bunch of cash, went to the physician who had x-rayed it and said, I need another x-ray. He said, no, I wouldn't do it. He said, how much is it? He said, some exorbitant price. He said, I'll pay that, I want to know. I said, she said, I know it's been healed, take the cast off. I mean, that's faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know it's cured. And he said, well, I guess I can x-ray it for you. So they x-rayed it, and you know what? No breaks.
Wow.
And I tell you, this really, really got my attention big time. She had the 2 x-rays, the one that happened on Tuesday afternoon and the one that happened Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 2 x-rays were there. Her name was on it. There were round x-rays, which I hadn't really seen before, photographs of those x-rays. And you could actually see... In the one, you could see very clearly where the breaks were, and in the other one, no breaks at all. That got my attention. The PS to this was rather cool because 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from the physician saying, would I go to court to testify for him against the insurance company? I said, well, doctor, I will go to court, but not for you, but for God.
I couldn't wait to testify. You know? Yes, I even saw the headlines of the papers. You know, I was thrilled. I could see the pictures posted on the papers. Yeah, in all humility, of course. But a week later, he called me up and said we've settled out of court. Yeah. I was very disappointed. Mm. But you know what? That got my attention. Mm-hmm. Another story happened recently. Where a woman married to a psychiatrist, she is a MSW, master social worker. They live in Wisconsin, and had driven on the five-year anniversary to come and see me. They thought I was still in upstate New York, but they came, drove 1,200 miles or something crazy. You do that in England, you fall off, you know, you end up in the water. After 8 hours, you glug, 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 you know, you're underwater, you know. I digress. But they had driven on the five-year anniversary to come and say thank you. Mm. Just like the leper, you know. When we think of the 10 lepers, how many were healed?
Yeah.
10. Yeah. How many were cured? One. That's right. Only one was cured because he did what? He came back to say thank you. So important to thank God, you know, all the time. Thank God. Anyway, apparently 5 years ago, and I'd forgotten this, but she reminded me that 5 years ago I was doing a conference in Wisconsin and wherever it was. And the only time ever in my hotel room I'd allowed somebody to come in, this woman had pancreatic cancer. Her husband came, her physician came, and half the church came into my room. We were packed, and she was lying on the bed. And I remember it because it's the only time I've ever done that. I don't allow people in my hotel room. Of course I don't. You know, in this case, half the church came in, half of Wisconsin, I think, came in. It was a miracle. You know, talk about loaves and fishes. I'm glad I didn't have to feed them. But anyway, I remember praying because we prayed for at least 2 hours. Stage four, given weeks to live. 5 years later, had a phone call. Can we come and see you? Mm-hmm. We came to say thank you. That touched my heart deeply. Her name is Lee. If you get the Order of St. Luke, if you remember the OSL, her story will be in next month's magazine, sharing magazine. So, you know, people, this is not a dress rehearsal, okay? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening to what I have to say. Sickness is no joke. It really isn't. If I couldn't laugh, I wouldn't be alive. I tell you what, we have to have a sense of humor. We have to have the joy of the Lord. Thank God, you know. On occasions, as you have probably have, I've laughed so much. Well, I have to share. I know I'm going to die laughing. I know that. I just have it on authority. And I tell you, a couple of weeks ago, my brother's almost a Christian, but he has an incredible sense of humour. You know, we both share an uncle who was an actor. He was in James Bond movie, Q in James Bond, in Never Say Never. So, you know, we've got a bit of acting in us. But my brother is funny. And I have to share, he told me something a couple of weeks ago that I won't share today, of course. But he made me laugh so much, I had to hang up. I was on the floor, covered in sweat, and my wife had to get my oxygen. I thought I was going to die. Honestly, I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so much. You know, he's calling an ambulance, I'm dying of laughter, you know. I know that's going to happen, I know it is. But I'm okay with that, you know, because I've died 13 times before, so I'm okay. Not having a second chance at life. This is life. This is brilliant. And, you know, the joy of the Lord is with you, and it's contagious. I could feel it sort of coming out from that back corner. So, two words, have fun. Seriously. As I said yesterday, don't allow people to have dominion over you. Get on with your life. But think about Mrs. Smith in the line, or the person who looks miserable. Be kind, be nice, pray for them. How may I pray for you? Okay. They say no, guess what? Pray for them anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there are great ways to pray. One thing I didn't mention, I regret that. I need a man and a woman, a volunteer, please. I don't think I'll use you because you're too extrovert. Can I use you, Gregory? Would that be right? Would you like to come forward? And sir, can I borrow you? Would you mind? And would you just trade places? I don't know why you have to stand on my right, but maybe okay. Something to do with weddings, I don't know. No, I'm not going to marry you. Would you stand there, actually facing inwards? Would you stand there facing inwards? Facing inwards. Okay. That's it. Okay. There you go. Step back, Gregory. Okay. What's your name?
Laurel.
Laurel and Hardy? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Excuse me, sorry. That's right. Laurel and Hardy, that was embarrassing. Has that ever happened before?
all the time. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Please,
my maiden name is Corky.
No,
it's made it even worse.
No. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm glad my parents did not give me Anne for a middle name.
So I want you to pretend that this was
Nick.
I want you to pretend that this man is upset.
Okay.
All right. Really badly. And what would your reaction about being upset at being kind?
I'm sorry.
Your eyes have actually got bigger.
Yeah.
So when somebody upsets us, we have many things we can do. You know, of course, forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us, right shall I forgive? We can have that fist of resentment, as in my case and my sister. Or, listen to this, we can ask Jesus to stand between you and the perpetrator of the offender. Yeah. Can you see this man?
Yeah, good.
Can you see that?
No.
Okay. So I'm standing in the gap, as Jesus does. And what he would do in seeing him is to filter your anger, your disappointment, and all those human emotions that are normal, by the way. He would filter that. And likewise, he filters that. So if there is somebody, even who's dead, who's in prison, who is miles away, or is in this church, who's hurt you, put Jesus between you and that person, okay? Because he healed. He is the healer. Bring him into the equation, right? Having done that, what would you do now, perhaps? What would be the natural reaction, knowing that the Lord has taken your burden to the cross and that he's forgiven? What would you do?
I would thank Jesus and go on about my business.
Yeah. What would be the perfect scenario?
Perfect scenario?
Yeah, your hands are there.
Yeah, would probably be a hugging. I'd say you're forgiven.
Yeah. So your hands are here. Yeah. And probably to you what?
Yes,
well done. You can sit down. Give a round of applause. Well done. That's it. No, that is the game plan. Is that lovely? Bless you. Yeah. Remember, but what a great name you have. That's lovely. I'm just trying to process that. What do you think of Christ? You know, I mentioned yesterday. How long do I have? 3 o'clock?
A couple more minutes.
So, as I said yesterday, I've been ordained for 12 years and I still go to straighten my tie. I forget.
Yeah.
You know? As it is in prayer. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, what did he say? Seek first the kingdom of God. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So, the default is, and most of us have spoken about that yesterday, is negative. Start thinking about what's in that default. What's your go-to place when somebody upsets you? Is it negative? Of course it is. You're a human being. Of course it is. And maybe not in your case. Get in front of me, woman. Well, you're lucky people, you know, to have something like this. It's that spark for fire, isn't it? Yeah. You're a lucky pastor to have something like this. You know.
That's right.
I forgot what I was saying. What was that?
Your
go-to place. So think of that go-to place. Is it dark, miserable, nasty? Is it nasty? He's up in that nasty place. Bring the love and joy of the Lord into that place. So I'm not going to go there anymore. Right? I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Thank you that my legs are. Thank you that idiot just drove in front of me. Thank you that I didn't rearrange it. You prick! You know. And just give all praise. Thessalonians. I spoke about Thessalonians yesterday. Thessalonians says rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
Rejoice always. I worked with a woman who just had her leg amputated. And she said, I've got nothing to rejoice about. I said, you're alive. I said, yeah, that's a good point. I said, what's your pain level? 1 to 10, stupid thing to say to somebody who just had their leg amputated. And she said, about 1,000, 5 million, you know. And I prayed and had her pray the prayer. You know, when we have pain, physical pain, emotional pain, what do? We run away from it. We push it away. It's amazing what happens if we say, thank you. Thank you for that pain. It's reminding me of you. Her pain level went shot down to a 1. Much to her surprise and the nurses around her, you know. I got just a little background to that. This was at a hospital
where they built a chapel. We'd prayed for somebody, granddaughter of some wealthy people, and they built a chapel in this hospital where the smokers used to go. The nurses were furious because we'd taken their smoking area. Anyway, and this chapel had a camera in one of the cupboards. You open the camera and it went live through the hospital in, TV. So we had these services live, people would watch, and we would tell them to dial O for operator and ask for prayer. So the first time we did this, it was rather weird to think of this camera looking at the whole hospital. We do the healing service. And anyway, went to the front desk. We got names of probably about 15 people. I had a prayer team with me, and we went around and prayed. So I get in the elevator with my team to go up to the wards, which were upstairs. I get in the elevator, and I step out, and this nurse, screamed when she saw me. Screamed! She was so excited. She danced around and came and gave me a big hug. She thought I was some famous evangelist, because she'd just seen me on television. She had no idea. Had no idea it was closed circuit TV and that I was downstairs in the chapel. It was a classic, classic thing. My prayer team were laughing their heads off. You know, the joy of the Lord. Isn't that great? Only something like that could happen with God, right? You know? And oh, it was funny as heck. And that's when we went on to this woman with a leg. So you know, please don't limit God. Have fun. Enjoy your life. This is not a dress rehearsal. Life is painful. Tell me about it. You know. Let's get on with living. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to people. Don't beat yourself up. God showed me years ago. I think I shared that yesterday. You know, you don't need to nail yourself to the cross. You don't need to reenact the crucifixion. Christ died that we might have life, and life abundantly. I proclaim life abundant upon you. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Love yourself. You do something wrong, thank you, God, I'm forgiven. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. You will have a soul in your hand at some point in your life. You say, God, how can I pray for this person? How can I pray for you? 6 words, change your life. Any answers? Any questions? Anything you want to know about the healing ministry that I could square off? What do you do?
Oh.
You weren't doing that, were you? Oh, sorry, you're doing that. I thought you did that. And also with you.
I don't know if you knew that in England or not.
Yes, I know what that meant. So thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. A pleasure always to continue to be. No. What a lovely joke. You said what a lovely joke this is. Yes. Very nice. Thank you for your time. Oh dear. For those who are listening, no, I won't share what happened. That was a lovely moment. I wish you'd been here for that, Father. Well, Father Scott, I wish you'd seen what just... We won't go into it, it's all right. I won't embarrass you. It was brilliant. It was a lovely moment. So, any... your name's Gary, right? Yeah. No. His name's not Gary. any questions, seriously? Are you comfortable with what I've said, sir?
What do you tell someone when you pray for healing and the person dies?
Dies, yeah. Well, you can't tell them much. Oh, Lord, crazy.
Oh, my God. I've got to put that on Facebook. That is so good. Oh, bless you, brother. Yeah, bless you. Oh, God. I didn't know I was going to have so much fun. That's a classic.
Yes. Well, pal, I'm so sorry. But you're in a much better place than I am. I think that was probably what I would say.
Oh, my God.
Any other body? Anybody else want to say anything? No. It's a very good question. Listen, I've prayed with many people who died. I've seen death in combat. I've seen death in nursing homes. I've seen horrific death of Marines screaming for their mum bleeding out. But I've also seen a beautiful death, you know. I'll tell the story in a moment. But listen, everybody's going to die. Lazarus died a few times, and so did a few other people, and myself, you know. I've died a few times. But death is the ultimate heal.
Yeah.
And there comes a point to say, it's okay to die. I love you. I did that to my dad a year ago.
Yeah.
It's okay to die, Dad. We love you. Thank you for everything you've done. He smiled, you know, and died. What a beautiful moment. Recently, I prayed for a man with his son, who's the same age as me. We prayed for an Alzheimer's patient who hadn't said a word in months, curled up in the fetal position, facing the wall. I leant over him and prayed last rites. I anointed him. Do you know what? He opened one eye. He opened the other eye, looking at me. He smiled and said, thank you. Boom. And died. Beautiful death. Another man I prayed for. It was a Sunday. I'd been at church all morning. I was tired. I was a lay chaplain at the time for a local community. And it had just opened. It was a respite home place for people to come after hospital and so on. Anyway, they had their first death or imminent death. And I'd been asked to come and pray because they couldn't find a real clergyman on a Sunday afternoon. So I said, okay, no problems. So I go in, I walk into Harry's room. All the family is there. I walk straight up to Harry, put my hand on his head, hold his hand and start praying in the name of Jesus. I didn't ask, which I should have done, what denomination he was. And everybody left. We were left with his wife, his daughter and Harry. He was 96, his radius and older. He could almost see light through it. I mean, it was time for him to die, you know. And it's okay at 96, you know. But I tell you, his wife said, I'm glad you just came in and prayed. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, the guy's Jewish, you know. And here I am doing the Jesus thing, you know, big mistake. And she said, no, I'm glad you did that because we were in hospital 2 weeks ago and a man of a certain denomination came in and started praying for the guy in the next bed, realized he wasn't saying faith, slammed his Bible together and stormed out very angrily. And she said, yeah, wasn't that awful? Really bad. So, you know, that situation had been healed in that point. But as I'm having that conversation, I went back to Harry because he was gurgling. It was time. It was ready for him to go. And I tell you what, this is the most beautiful death I've ever seen in my life. It was beautiful. Put my hand on his forehead again, held his hand. I said, Jesus, would you take Harry home? Would you take him home? Would you take him by the hand? I was very specific. Would you take him by the hand? And I'm telling you, I've got his right hand, hand on the forehead. His left hand starts doing this. He's 96. There's nothing there. It's just bone. You know, his hand keeps doing this. Oh, yeah. And he goes, spits up. Boom, he's dead. That's a beautiful thing. You know, so, yeah, people die. I believe, by faith, that everybody's healed. I believe that, categorically. But not everybody is cured. And that's the mystery, because it is a mystery. I've got many stories that correlate with that, but I won't do that now. So, anything else? Brochures, books in the back, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May our default darkness be illuminated. May angels live in our default in our mind. That when we go to that default, we see a big angel smiling at us, saying, hello, how you doing? How you doing? I love you. Cleanse us, Lord, of that negativity that we all go to, human nature, normal reaction to an abnormal situation. Fill us with a new love, Lord, and give us courage to pray for somebody. Because the only thing that can happen is we were rejected, or Jesus was rejected unto death. And I earnestly pray that I would encourage you to say those six words. How may I pray for you? Then to report back to the church. Because people need to know what God is up to. Because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have fun, peeps.